Good day to all and welcome back. This is Leanne Fleischer and I'm your host for today's newscast. Today we will feature part two of our first newscast with our NOAA certified inspectors discussing issues they have seen throughout their inspections. So let's get started.
All right, let's talk plumbing a little bit. We get a lot of questions about venting through the roof.
So for venting through the roof, part of our standard is that we have a minimum of an inch and a half vent through the roof. Now, you have an option of venting through a sidewall, but on a tiny house, it's very difficult because you have to be 10 feet away from a window, and trying to be 10 feet away from a window, as we all know, in a tiny house is near impossible. There are other options as far as venting above a window, a certain distance, but even that's, I haven't seen a great success in doing that either. And then when we have other fixtures in the tiny house, we ask that there's auto air vents installed to help the system properly maintain itself.
Okay, so that's the AAV valve, the air admittance valves, or HEPA valves that they call it. And they can be there to help the venting of the fixtures that are in there. But somehow, there needs to be one vent and a half going through the roof. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep. All right. Does anybody know what a HEPA valve is?
Are you guys going to ask?
Yeah.
Yeah, HEPA. HEPA is a waterless trap. Instead of using a P-trap, you can use a HEPA valve. It's a one-way valve. There's no water in it. They don't work. You don't have to worry about freezing or anything like that. And if you use the HEPA valve, you actually do away with having to use the AA valve also.
Yeah.
Yes. And the nice thing about the HEPA is it can be mounted in any direction or in any angle. Whether it be horizontal or vertical.
Okay, and I see a lot of those used in showers where you're going to have to have a P-trap in the shower and it's going to hang down below,
right.
Could freeze and things like that. But if you can keep it up high and in the insulated heated area with a HEPA valve, that works pretty good. And then obviously we do a pressure test. Anybody want to, what is it, 80 pounds?
Yeah,
that pressure needs test. To hold 80 to 100 pounds.
Right. We require 80 pounds of air pressure on the water lines that we hold for at least 15 minutes.
Okay. All right. And what's an S trap?
It's an S.
It's literally where the trap is shaped as an S. So you would have a return vent that comes down from, say, whatever the fixture is, the sink, let's say. And then the other end was made as an S as well. So it's literally, if you're looking at it, and it shows an S. The problem with S traps is they have a tendency to self-siphon. And when they self-siphon, you lose that trap seal. And you will get the sanitary sewer smell back into the tiny house.
So basically, when you have a P-trap, you have to have a horizontal distance before it goes down again.
Correct.
Am I explaining that right?
Yes.
Okay. So you have your trap. It goes down and up, and then it has to go over a certain distance before it goes down again.
Right.
That's right. One and a half times the width of the pipe.
One and a half times. So if it's a 2-inch pipe, then it has to go over 3 inches before it goes down.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Good. All right. This is our last slide before we go into some Q&A. Let's talk about, you know, gas. I've got a photograph here of a propane tank underneath of the stove near the kitchen inside of a tiny house. Is that going to fly, guys?
Not even close. Yeah, one thing about propane is the code specifically says propane tank is not allowed to be in the home. And the other place it's not allowed to be is on the back of the home.
And why is that?
Well, I guess if you got rear-ended, it could be nasty.
Right.
But you're not allowed to have it in the back of the house. You can't have it inside the house. And someone had asked just a few moments ago, and if an electric panel could be outside in a bump out over the tongue. And yeah, it can. But what we're finding is some builders are trying to use that same bump out to locate their propane. And I had one builder, he had his electric panel, the propane tanks, and the on-demand propane hot water heater all in the same bump out. Mm. And of course, that didn't fly. Yeah, propane can't be, your propane bottle can't be in any place where a spark can exist. So you can't, so what a lot of the builders are doing now is they're not putting any tanks at all. They're putting a quick disconnect out the side and letting the homeowners put the tanks when they want to.
So in other words, if you have a quick disconnect, mm-hmm. they can set the tank on the ground on the outside.
Yeah, that's fine.
Wherever that quick disconnect is. And
right.
since these tiny houses don't move around like an RV, that's probably an okay solution. Now, when you say that the propane tank can't be inside the house, what if it bumps out into the tiny house, but it's totally sealed from the inside and you access it from the outside, like a door or something like that?
It's
that
totally legal? Sealed. I don't think it's considered inside.
Okay. Yeah. That's I wanted to clarify that. So in other words, if you're building a tiny house and you basically have no other place to put your tank other than somewhere in the footprint of the house itself, it has to be totally sealed from any kind of gas possibly coming into the house, and you have to have a door or an access panel on the outside.
And wherever the tank is located, it has to be properly ventilated.
Yes.
Yes. Important. Very important.
Right. All right. And now, we really haven't talked much.
I was going to tell you, though, I did have one builder who had the propane tank in the bump out and the electric panel in the bump out. And what he had was a divider in the bump out, and he had two doors. The door, we'll say, to the left, that when you open that up, that's where the electric panel was. But the door to the right, and he had the divider sealed. And then the door to the right is where he had his propane tank. And he had the bottom of that bump out had a grate for ventilation, and the right-hand side of the bump out up high also had a cutout and a grate for additional ventilation. That was acceptable because it was sealed. It was sealed away from the electric panel, and it was properly ventilated.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
Yeah.
Good. And something we haven't really addressed, but I think maybe we should. What about these tiny houses and moisture? You know, you're taking showers, you're breathing, you're cooking. Is that something they need to be concerned about?
Yeah, very much so. Because, you know, it comes down to we've got a small box. And whether you're running, you're washing your dishes or taking a shower, humidity builds up really quickly. So you do need a means of, even if it's not much more than a good bathroom exhaust fan, you do need a means of ventilation for the home. If not, what will happen is you'll eventually start to develop mold in there.
Yeah, yeah, we don't want that. And then there are some devices that are called air exchangers.
Yes, right. And those are really, they're more expensive, but those are really good. And they can be programmed to change the air every X amount of minutes or however you want it to work.
and they condition the air. So if it's heated or if it's cooled, they condition that air coming in and coming back out.
Right.
Right. That's correct.
All right. All right. Anything else before we open these Q&As up here? Guys, you have anything that is burning that you've seen that, you know, you really...
You know, Rob, I do. One area that's often ran into and it's late in the game is tempered windows. So if you have a set of stairs near a window or on a window on a set of stairs, that window needs to be tempered. If for some reason, you know, it was forgotten and the window's installed and all the finishes are on, there are products out there that are ANSI compliant, which meets tempering. So that's definitely something to pay attention to. But when you order those films, those window films, make certain that it says, you know, it complies with ANSI tempering. I think it's a Z97.5 or something like that off the top of my head. But it's very important because it keeps the windows from if somebody were to ever fall into them, keeps them from sharding into the person, and it just holds it all in place.
So that's like a 3M film that's got the proper ANSI qualifications for tempered glass.
Yes. Yeah. 3M is one of the major makers. There's others out there, but yes.
Okay. All right. Leanne, do we have any questions?
Yes, sir, we do. The first one is, what are the rules on compost toilet? Can you plumb your tiny home for sewage connect, but use a nature's head?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
She said, I don't plan to install black tank.
So no. The answer to that is a composting toilet legal, guys?
Yeah, it's absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
So I know in my area, I talked about in the state of Florida where I live, composting toilets are legal, even in regular stick-built houses, and you can use a gray water filter system for your sinks and your shower, except the kitchen sink. They said you could not. You still had to have a septic system because of the food particles in the kitchen sink. Would be considered black water. So that was kind of an interesting ruling. So yeah, you can have a composting toilet. What about venting? If you don't have a toilet, if you just have a shower and a sink, do we still need at least one vent going through the roof?
Yes, it still needs to be vented. Yes.
Okay. All right. It still needs to be vented. It still needs to be 1.5 inches.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Leanne?
I guess I got muted. Sorry. Yes, one more or two more, actually. Any rules for ceiling fans? Maybe thinking of having a short blade ceiling fan to circulate air.
Ceiling fans are fine. Just remember that they're not exchanging air. They're just circulating it. But mm-hmm. fans are fine. There's nothing wrong with them.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tony. The next one is, what are rules for cooking venting?
I vent about my wife's cooking all the time.
Now.
I'm going to be in trouble.
Yeah, she might be cooking dinner right now, Tony.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen
anything on it at all.
That would come down to the stove manufacturer. What if they would require it? But other than that, there's nothing I'm aware of in the tiny house industry that would require it beyond a stove manufacturer installation instructions.
All
You know, a lot of guys are cooking in a microwave, or they have a two burner plug in that they put on the counter and then they unplug it and put it away. We've seen that a lot in tiny houses.
Okay, she said, "Ha ha! I meant the ones that go over the stove. Is that what you guys were talking about?"
Yes.
Okay. Right. All right. That's all I see for questions.
I have one question I wanted to throw out to the guys, and me too. What about wood stoves in tiny houses?
That's an interesting one. So wood stoves, all right, so first they would have to be, they would have to have some type of listing and approval. That could be a product like UL listing or CSA or something like that. And what that does is it approves it with clearance distances from sidewalls, back walls, anything above it to prevent any type of fire or too much heat exchange from the unit itself. But they are permitted in tiny houses. Now, the one problem that we thought of recently or discussed recently was when they're installed, when wood stoves are installed from, say, a builder, and the home is transported, I don't know, any distance to the new owner, what typically happens is that wood stove takes a walk because there's no permanent means of fastening or securing it. So that's going to be an item that we're definitely going to look into more, and that's definitely going to have to be acted on, because we can't have, you know, wood stove walking around during transport.
Good point. And also, and some kind of outside combustion air for the wood stove is important.
If that would be part of the listing of the unit itself, so it'll identify what is required and what is not, and we will ask for that information to be sent to us so we can review it and understand it. You know, because each manufacturer is different. So we would want to understand that before we started the inspection at that point.
So some stoves would have outside combustion air, a line that would come to the outside and bring combustion air into the combustion chamber and go on out. And some stoves, you just would crack a window or something like that when you're using it. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. All right.
Okay, we got a couple more questions. Do you guys mind?
No.
Okay.
Would a mini split be considered an air exchanger?
No.
No. Okay.
However, sweet. However, if you do have a wood stove, it tends to dry out the air on the inside. That mm-hmm. I do know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, and then the young lady that asked about the hot water, I thought you guys said yes, correct? Can I put the tankless hot water on back of the tiny home? Does it need to be enclosed with venting?
Yeah, you can put it on the back. It does not have to be enclosed as long as you don't have your propane tanks back there. But yeah, it can be put on the back of the home.
Right. Okay, cool. Two more, and then if you want to cut it off or keep going, I don't care.
Let me finish up with that. One on the back.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be enclosed as long as it's designed to be outside.
That's correct.
There are some tankless hot water heaters that are designed for inside use only, and so that would have to be in some kind of enclosure. But if it's designed to be outside, it doesn't have to be enclosed.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. This question, I was trying to read it ahead of time. Do you have an ordering or tiny house on wheels manufacturing these specifics you're saying we should have that would help in our marketing for these supplies specifically designed for toes? Hope you understand my question. Did you guys understand that?
Yeah, there is a number of trailer manufacturers that specifically make trailers for the tow.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that too. Okay.
And then also, if you're referring to the standards or codes that we're looking at, if you go to our website, noaacertified.org, we have a link there to what's called the NOAA ANSI Plus standard, which has all of these standards to them. And then if you are a member of NOAA, we also give you access to these standards of appendix in Appendix Q, NFPA 1192 and ANSI 119.5 are all in the back office in full view. But you can also get ANSI 119.5 yourself if you want to. So that's what we're looking at mainly is ANSI 119.5, and then we also add NFPA 1192 and look at Appendix Q for that.
Awesome. Okay, last one. Do manufactured tiny house trailers come with a VIN adequate to use for the home?
Most manufacturers do include that VIN for the tow, but there is occasion where there's manufacturers that don't.
Yeah, and what I've seen is the manufacturer gives you a title or a letter of origin for a utility trailer. And in fact, if you ask them to not call it a utility trailer, some manufacturers will call it the letter of origin, a tiny house trailer, a trailer for a tiny house. And that may be helpful to you, but it's mainly dependent upon your Department of Transportation, what their requirements are. Like I said, a lot of them are simply doing the utility trailer and then building a house on that utility trailer and selling it with a bill of sale. Although I know in California, you don't get your VIN until after you're complete with your tiny house. You take it to them, they do an inspection, and they issue you a VIN for your tiny house at that time. And some other states may be like that too. So check with your state DOT and see what their requirements are. And I think that's about the best we can say, it, you know, because everybody's going to be a little bit different.
Okay, great. Anybody else have any questions? I don't see any more questions, guys.
I see one from Ron.
Yeah.
It's about the tankless water heater vent. He said it must be 10 feet from windows. Is that correct? And so that somewhat eliminates sidewall venting. Yeah, that is correct, Ron. And also from any type of air intake device, like an air exchanger or anything like that, it has to be 10 feet from that also.
Yeah, the manufacturers may actually specify less. So it again, and I hate to keep referring to manufacturers, but each manufacturer is so different that those their specifications are needed for installation. So you might find a manufacturer that goes much less than 10 feet.
Thanks, guys, for all that great information. In case you didn't know, the NOAA newscast will be out on the first Monday of every month. So mark your calendars and tune in. Also, be sure to follow our Facebook and Instagram pages for lots more tiny house information with featured articles, news, and some fun stuff too. And check out our website, noaacertified.org, for information on our certified inspection services. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of the week. Until next time, this is Leanne with NOAA News, helping people feel safe.